Today I heard a woman who just spoke to a bunch of people in refugee camps, and they said that after the prosecutor's announcement, it was the first time they could sleep. It was a big deal for them, I mean, to see that the international community was going to hold Bashir accountable for the crimes. When I was there last year, I was kind of expecting that there would be more of a tension, that people would be more interested in getting the peacekeepers on the ground, essentially, no matter what, so that they could return to their land. But I was surprised to find that they really felt that without justice, that they couldn't return. I mean, they saw the two as being very linked, that there needed to be accountability for the crimes in order for them to have security.
The issue of accountability is always present when peace negotiations are about to be finalized. Why are Darfur citizens raising the International Criminal Court charges against Bashir at this point, since negotiations have ground to a halt? And what do you think it will accomplish?
I think that people feel that this is, you know, at the very least a major symbolic victory, that the crimes committed against them have not been acknowledged so far, or that many felt on the ground that the responsibility for these crimes really was at the top. And so to have the prosecutor say that his evidence pointed to the top as well is more really encouraging to people on the ground that there might be, you know, an end to impunity for these types of crimes. In terms of how it will affect them, the Sudanese government is still obliged to follow international obligations. It's still required to give access to humanitarian workers, to people in need. It's still a war crime to attack peacekeepers or people providing humanitarian aid deliberately, and so those obligations aren't affected by this. You could say that the fact that there's been impunity for so many years for the government of Sudan, starting with the conflict in southern Sudan where the same tactics were used for over 20 years, is the reason that they're in the situation today. Had there been accountability earlier, maybe the government wouldn't have been continuing to use these scorched earth tactics against civilians as part of their counterinsurgency campaign.
Well, ICC prosecutor Luis Moreno Ocampo took a bold step this week in calling for President Bashir's arrest on genocide charges, but some African officials, including Algeria's Ahmed Ben Bella and the AU's Panel of the Wise, say it is a dangerous move. What would Darfuri say about this?
Well, I think it goes to the same issue. I mean, is it a threat of retaliation? Is that really a reason to drop charges against a suspected war criminal because there's a fear that they're going to commit more war crimes? It's kind of a self-defeating argument in that you can't have the international community or the court held hostage to threats of additional violence.
Well, others argue that Sudan's aggression can only be stopped by meeting the violence with challenges every step of the way. Is the escalation worth it, or does Khartoum show an ability to back down if its threats are answered firmly?
What we've seen so far is that there have been attempts to placate Khartoum, and the Security Council has been reluctant to take bold steps. And in the response has been that Khartoum has been pretty intractable. We haven't seen much cooperation in terms of deployment of UNAMID forces. I mean, Khartoum has been extremely defiant of numerous Security Council resolutions. They've continued aerial bombardments. They've refused to disarm the Janjaweed. They've not cooperated with UNAMID. They've not cooperated with the International Criminal Court, all of which are violations of Security Council resolution obligations. And the Security Council has not responded strongly, and it should step up the pressure on Khartoum with further measures.
The strategy of burning and looting villages has been intensified now with attacks on non-governmental organization personnel and the combined African Union-UN peacekeeping team. Are these players now more vulnerable in Darfur because of the ICC warrant?
Technically, they should not be more vulnerable, but it's possible that they will be more vulnerable. Khartoum has periodically thrown out relief workers for various reasons. A number of groups have been kicked out at the drop of a hat. For any reason, that's been sort of a tactic that Khartoum has kept in its pocket for dealing with humanitarian organizations. I think that they've always been suspicious that humanitarian organizations are providing evidence to the court. But on the other hand, perhaps the increased scrutiny that this warrant brings will provide incentive for Khartoum not to retaliate against humanitarian organizations, because they really are being closely scrutinized right now.
Well, tell me about your visit. You were on the Chad border with Darfur's western border. Are Darfuris afraid of a greater crackdown on the humanitarian services they receive because of the threatened warrant against the Sudanese leader?
I went to Chad, to the border, where there are over 200,000 Darfuri refugees last summer as part of basically a research mission to investigate how the International Criminal Court is performing on the ground, because we wanted to see what kind of impact the court is having on the communities most affected by the crimes and how they perceive justice. When I was there, I talked to numbers of refugees in four different camps about their perception of justice issues. And at the time, there had been two arrest warrants issued, the first two against Haroon and Khashib, and they were pleased with those warrants, but they were hoping for more. The perception was there's no justice in Sudan, so their only hope for justice was the International Criminal Court, and the fact that the ICC was investigating was encouraging to them, but they wanted them to go up the chain of command. And what surprised me was how many people said, when are they going to bring charges against Bashir?
You've talked about the indictments of Haroon and Khashib last year. Do you think that the lack of success in pursuing their prosecution has demoralized the people at the Chad-Sudan border because of the failure of the international community to get any progress on their prosecution?
Well, I think as time goes on, they're certainly going to feel some frustration with that. There's no question that getting the arrest warrants actually enforced is the Achilles heel of the International Criminal Court. I mean, they have no police force. They have no mechanisms by which to make arrests. So their only hope is that the countries themselves will cooperate and surrender the accused. And with Sudan being the country that needs to cooperate, it's unlikely that they're going to surrender anybody, including the president, anytime soon. And so I think there's some understanding that it requires cooperation from the Sudanese government, and the government has been thumbing its nose. There must be some accountability, and without that, we've seen that the violence continues, and it can even spur more violence. So I would hope that there would be some long-term stability, and we can look to other examples of situations in which sitting heads of state have been charged with war crimes, like Milosevic or Karadzic or Charles Taylor. At the time when those warrants were requested, they were all seen as very controversial, but in the long run, they all eventually contributed to peace and stability, and the sky that was supposed to fall never actually fell. So things in the long run might end up being fine.
How realistic do you think that perception is to root for a far-off, distant place to indict a government target that they want removed? Is there a feeling of hopelessness there in that they're so enthusiastic about outside help fulfilling this, or is it a realistic position that no other help is going to come their way unless they do pursue an international solution?
I think that you've hit the nail on the head. I think there was a feeling of utter hopelessness in terms of ever seeing justice from the Sudanese government itself. So I think that the international criminal court is a source of great hope for them, and is the only source of hope for them for ever seeing justice for these crimes. And so, given the vast scope of the crimes and the limited number of cases that the International Criminal Court is going to bring, it's not sufficient really to bring everyone to justice who is involved in these crimes. But to get some of the top people is an important step and really a source of much hope.